You are Locked On Texans, your daily Houston Texans podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It's our Texans postgame show. We're halfway through the season. The Texans are undefeated after another last-minute game-saving play. They beat the Niners 16-13. Welcome aboard, everybody. Robert Land from the Houston Sports Talk Podcast, along with co-host Brian Patterson from Fansided's House of Houston. Thanks for diving into Locked On Texans, your best daily source of Texans news, views, and interviews. And as you can hear from my voice, still battling a cold, playing hurt a little bit. I apologize for how I sound, but my energy seemed about as low as the Texans, Brian, in this game. There wasn't the same amount of urgency in the second preseason game, from what I could tell, that there was in the first preseason game.
Yeah, you could tell that the offense was sputtering. Yeah, they just couldn't seem to find a rhythm. The one touchdown drive that we had, the one that was most interesting to me, was, of course, the one that Deshaun Watson led at the beginning of the game. So, you know, that was the only series that he actually got to play in, but there was a lot of energy in it. He had a great rapport with Bruce Ellington, and that was 11 plays, 79-yard drive, which was about 4 minutes. So it was nice and quick. So we did get a chance to see what things look like when Deshaun Watson is in there a bit longer. I'm very pleased with what I saw, but you saw the production just take a nosedive as soon as Brandon Whedon stepped in. The Brandon Whedon that you saw back against the Kansas City Chiefs was not the same guy. I mean, just he looked like the old Brandon Whedon. I thought that we're going to get the brand new and approved Brandon Whedon, but it just was bad. And, you know, I don't know if you remember that scramble he tried to do for the 2-yard run, and it didn't work that well. He grabbed his foot and, you know, he just tumbled on over. Joe Webb was throwing passes into the dirt. It wasn't great at all. So his best play was, of course, we're going to talk about this, was the touchdown pass, a game-winning touchdown pass to Vincent Smith, undrafted free agent out of Limestone College. So that's a great moment for him. But that's what I felt about this offense. This defense, this looks like the number one defense in the NFL. That's what we're looking like right now. It looks like all systems are go for that end of the field.
The defense, the Texans defense, it's ready to go, you say?
I think it is. I think it is. There's a few kinks. I mean, it's not perfect, but I think it's all systems go. If we're not number one, we're going to be top five. We just have so much depth. Those guys are just so eager, hungry. You know, we're going to talk about our guys that are standing out, but I've got one that's looks like he's ready. You know, whether it's special teams or just a spot on the line, I would love to see him out there. So, yeah, I think this defense is going to be doing just fine. But this offense, it's just going to take a little bit for everyone to get the rapport together. Obviously, we know that Bruce Ellington is ready to go. I'm so glad that, you know, we re-signed him. He is perfect for this system. Seems to be a great fit.
Yeah, just because they didn't give up a lot of points, I don't think it was that great of a game for the defense. I thought the Niners kind of shot themselves in the foot a couple of times. And, you know, with turnovers and penalties and stuff like that, I don't think it was all the Texans making with that sort of stuff. So I'll disagree with you on that. But we haven't even seen the first team defense. I mean, let's go over the Texans who didn't play. Clowney, of course, Kiki QT. We're still waiting for Deontay Foreman to come back. Will Fuller didn't play. Mason Gentry, we haven't even mentioned him at all, but he's a guard in the offensive line battle. Dre Hall, of course, we know what's going on with the cancer that he's dealing with. Ben Heaney, Dre Hopkins, Kaimi Fairbairn, Jonathan Joseph, Jermaine Kelly, Ty Matthew, Bernardrick McKinney, Whitney Merciless, Martinez Rankin, DJ Reader, Giovanni Robinson, who's just joined the tight end mix now, Chris Thompson, who we haven't even mentioned him, but he was a big key to special teams last year. We haven't seen him at all. J.J. Watt and Jester Wiye, who looks like he's more and more destined to the practice squad if he's going to hold a spot at all with the Texans. But Kevin Johnson, Brian, was helped off the field after a concussion early in the game, fell awkwardly diving for a ball on a completion early. Ironically, word got out Saturday that the Texans are scheduled to work out veteran cornerback Kayvon Webster. He was a third-round pick by the Broncos in 2013, played four seasons in Denver. Last year, He played 11 games with the Rams. He had 38 total tackles, 7 pass deflections, and an interception. He's working out with a couple of other teams, Brian. But my point is, with Kevin Johnson, we're at the point where you just can't depend on this guy anymore. And the Texans badly need some help at the cornerback position, because outside of Jonathan Joseph and Aaron Colvin, and not so sure about Aaron Colvin, we'll get to that in a bit, but the cornerback depth is probably the area on this team that I'm most concerned about, even more so than the offensive line.
Yeah, and you know, with Aaron Colvin at the beginning of the game, he's the one that gave up that touchdown run that Jimmy Garoppolo was able to engineer. So I've got some concerns about him as well. I think he's going to be fine, but you know, preseason week two, you know, you think you'd be on that. With Kevin Johnson, you know, I didn't know what kind of injury it was. I didn't think it was. I was like either a concussion or did was his ribs broken? You know, because he seemed to take a hard fall and he didn't get up for a while. So I honestly feel that, you know, it is, you know, labeled as a concussion, but we may find out more. This guy may be even more hurt than what they are actually letting on. You know how the Texans kind of play the game with releasing information to us fans and as well as to the media as well. So it was just kind of disappointing to see him on the field again. He always seems to find a way to get hurt. But again, there are other guys out there. I really like the performance out of Andre Chacheret. I mean, he was able to go out there and make some explosive tackles. He was able to make a lot of pass deflections. I mean, when you really look at the cornerback, I mean, not only should your tackling be good, but how well are you breaking up passes? How well are you getting in front of the man to prevent him from doing so? We're going to see his Pro Football Focus grade. I imagine they will be loaded in by later today, but I would love to see how Pro Football Focus evaluated him, because that's your guy right there. Looks like Andre's ready for a roster spot, and we can really use him right now.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with you on that one. Let's get to standouts, because you keep maybe throwing in guys that might be in your standout list. I don't know, but we got to get to that in a second. If you're enjoying Locked On Texans, tell all your Texans friends. Let them know they can find us on Spotify, the Google Podcast app, iTunes, and most anywhere you're going to find your favorite podcast. Do us a favor. Share the links to our show with social media followers. Great way to just include more people into what we're doing. And the more people that are listening, the better chance we can just continue to bring this kind of content on a daily basis. We also want your voice to be a part of the conversation. So email LockedOnTexans@mail.com for questions or comments. That's LockedOnTexans@mail.com. All right. Once again, we're going to do our Texans standouts. This is where we go back and forth on the standouts from the game and the preseason. I think this is a good idea because you don't know where these guys are going to end up, if they're going to end up on the team or not. And we're trying to figure out if they've done something to make themselves known. And I'll start off, Brian, with Bruce Ellington. And there was good and bad standing out. I mean, he had 3 catches for 44 yards and a TD on the first drive. The bad part was that he dropped 2 passes on the same drive. Altogether, 4 catches, 50 yards.
Yeah, I agree with you. Bruce Ellington is, I talked about it a little bit earlier, just in regard to him being a focal point of this offense outside of DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller. You know, he's going to be our slot guy. There's no way in hell that he is not going to make this team. And, you know, he was signed with that intention. So, yeah, that's. He is really showing that performance so far. But yeah, the drop, you know, I think it was a pass out to the right. And, you know, that was an easily catchable ball, but it just kind of fumbled out of his hands. So I think Bruce is going to be just fine, but he just has to shore up those drops and he'll be just fine. But that's a perfect standout. My standout on the defense is Duke Ejiofor. Duke was everywhere. I mean, he really performed well on special teams. I'm telling you, when the ball got out, when it was kicked off and it was returned, you know, Duke was right there to get on that particular tackle. I mean, whoever his assignment was, he was able to go in there and stop whatever type of movement that you know, the offense was trying to get done on the kickoff. So I think Duke really has a spot on this team. And I honestly would have to say that if Whitney Mercer has health issues, you know, look out. Duke is looking over your shoulder, man. I know he's a 6th round pick, but again, He is underrated. People were concerned about his health. If he stays healthy, I think honestly, we got another pass rusher on the defensive line that could really make a difference. I think as a rookie already, he's making that difference. And I'm going to talk about another guy that was pretty good as well. But Duke is my first guy.
Yeah, and I have him down as well. He made that attack on the opening kickoff in the first play for scrimmage on the reverse. On the reverse, he gets the big tackle in the backfield. And after that, they started double-teaming him. And that's respect right there from the 49ers. They're double-teaming him right from the beginning of the game. Obviously, standout. I mean, we've mentioned him already. But Deshaun Watson, not only was he 5-for-8 for 73 yards and a touchdown, first drive, he just marches him down the field. The three incompletions were dropped, two by Bruce. And Bill O'Brien even made note of the drops when he was interviewed at the end of the half, like saying, hey, he should have been perfect. He should have been 8-for-8. So, this is a no-brainer on Deshaun. Brian, who's your next guy?
Next guy is Carlos Watkins, second-year guy. We drafted Carlos early in the draft in 2017, and he is really coming along as a pass rusher. And especially in the run defense, he was pretty good as well. Had a lot of moments, had some explosive tackles that I noticed as well. He's going to be a nice backup defensive end because you need all the depth that you can get there. There's J.J. Watt, and then you've got guys that need to play on the right side as well. Christian Covington, Carlos Watkins. Who's it going to be? I mean, I think that position on the right is up for grabs. I mean, right outside, who's going to be playing on the other side of J.J. Watt?
So. Covington's number one on the depth chart. I think he gets the nod. I've wanted to see flashes more so from Carlos Watkins, where he's just not a guy and he's somebody that can make an impact player too. And yeah, I saw a little bit from him in this game. I want to see more. I want to see the development. It's only his second year, and this is sometimes the year where they make a bigger jump. So would love to see that from him. Brian, the next guy on my standout list is Sammy Coates. Now, there was some good and bad. The good, he made three catches for 32 yards in the first half. All three catches were for first downs. I mean, he's on the team as far as I'm concerned. I'd be shocked if he's not on this team. It also looked like he ran the wrong route on one play. Whedon threw deep. Coates did not go deep. My guess is that one was on Coates. He also dropped the pass late in the half. He was immediately hit, though, in that one. Maybe alligator-armed that one, anticipating the hit. He ended up with a concussion and was done for the day. Hopefully, that's not something that lingers all the way to the first game. But this is my problem, Brian, is Antoine Exum makes the hit using his shoulder at Coates' head. The irony is the play before, one of the Niners' defensive linemen gets called for lowering the head on the pass rush. He gets the personal foul with the new rule. Spencer Tillman then says on the broadcast, hey, quote, they're serious about protecting these players. You could see it right, with that play or whatever. Well, Brian, they obviously aren't serious about protecting the players because you can't take free shots at a player's head, whether it's with the shoulder or the helmet or a forearm bar. I mean, this is the whole idea of the rule, isn't it? I mean, to me, Exum should have been ejected for the hits on Coates, and that's the end of the story right there.
Exactly. That is something that I noticed. This was at the end of the first half. It was about 10 seconds left, and he comes in leading in with his helmet like a missile. And I'm wondering, why hasn't anything been called? This was what all of the rule changes were all about. I was outraged that man was still out there on the field. If you're going to create rules to promote safety and to prevent concussions, that's the situation there. And it just did not look good. And, obviously you could tell. And, of course, I actually wasn't in attendance in last night as far as a preseason game. So I was able to see that angle. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to replay it like they would on TV. But I saw it happen in front of my eyes. This man was leading in with his helmet like a missile. You cannot use your helmet as a weapon.
And there was no intent to go for the football either on that play. It was all just making a hit. And you could tell by his reaction afterwards that was the intent. So, I mean, to me, let's get this thing right. If that's the idea is to protect the players, then to me, the shoulder at a head is no different than a helmet at a head. I mean, you're screwing that guy with that guy's livelihood and his life when you do stuff like that. And, you know, this is the NFL's got to get this crap together. I mean, the play that before that, the guy's running in, he puts his head down as a defensive lineman. And that's the idea of the new rule. And I get it. But what this guy did, what Exum did, was far more serious. This is really how you end careers with concussions. This is how you cause damage. So that really ticked me off. That's why I wanted to get into that a little bit earlier, because that was just something I thought, what are we doing here? Who's your next guy? Who's your next standout?
The next standout to me, and he's making a strong case until he got the concussion, is Sammy Coates. You know, I just wanted to talk about just how much he was targeted. And, of course, I talked about Andre Chachere, so he's like my bonus number four. But I just really liked, just what I saw out of Sammy Coates, the way he's been targeted, his particular performance on special teams as well. I really do think that he has a spot on this roster. It's going to be between him and – do you see like a situation where Braxton Miller and Sammy Coates could coexist?
Right. No, I could see it. I mean, I could see both guys making the team. And right now, until we see Kiki QT take a snap, we haven't seen him take a snap since this hamstring injury. It's really unfortunate, because I thought that guy could be somebody I was going to be real excited about watching at the slot receiver, and he could do some dangerous things. But right now, I could see him starting on the IR. He might be on a 6-game deal to start the season until they get this thing straightened out. It's just real frustrating, because, man, if you listeners got to see him out there in mini camps and OTAs and what he was doing out there, you would have been as excited as I would about this kid. So it's really unfortunate. I'm going to go with my next standout on the bad side, and back to somebody that I thought looked bad last week. And this is why I'm so concerned about the cornerback situation. I think they really wanted to see something from DeVergen. He's played a lot the last 2 weeks. He gets beat on an inside move easily for a 20-yard play. The very next play, his man blows by him deep, but luckily for him, C.J. Beathard overthrows the receiver. Late in the game, Virgin was called for holding on special teams. You saw a shot on television of the special teams coach, Seeley, that was indicative that he didn't like to put up with that crap. So to me, DeVergen is not going to make this team after the first two games. He was given every opportunity to do something, and he just couldn't do it. And to me, it's like he's looking at pretty much either being cut or being put on the practice squad.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I was just hoping that, because there were some flashes of brilliance from him, at least on special teams, not necessarily, as a cornerback, but he keeps getting blown by some of the stronger competition. And while we're at it, while we're talking about guys that didn't perform well, what the heck is going on with Justin Reed? He was the first guy that we had the opportunity to pick in this year's draft, and he's getting beat. And, is he expecting guys to fall in front of him if he just stands in front of him? You got to go in and you got to go and tackle. I mean, he had the lowest Pro Football Focus grade last week. He was at a 38.7, if I'm not mistaken. And I don't think he's going to be too far off of that this week as well. So I don't know what's going on with him. It's just...
I did see one positive from him, though. Unlike last week...
Yeah, I got to hear it.
He had a play that was a positive on third and long. He came up with a big hit and tackled to end a drive. For what it's worth, he had 6 tackles, 3 solo. I didn't see him get beat extremely bad like it was last week. But Justin Reed, it's going to be a growing process. I thought he would be able to make a more immediate impact, but I feel like he was better than last week, though. I mean, I do want to say that. He was definitely better than last week. I want to get to more cornerbacks, Brian, because like I said, this is starting to be a big concern for me. But first, just want to remind everybody that if you're enjoying the show, tell your friends, like we said, but also, if you're enjoying the Locked On Network, go to LockedOnSports.com, our Locked On Network website. We got 2.5 million downloads per month with podcasts for nearly every NFL and NBA team. We're adding Major League Baseball and college sports as well. It's the place to go for all the content that we've got. LockedOnSports.com. That's LockedOnSports.com. Okay, Brian, my next standout, and this is in a bad way, and we've been talking about the cornerback situation, and this is why I'm concerned. Aaron Colvin, he gets beat on an inside move for a touchdown on that first drive. It didn't look good at all. He got beat again for a completion on the second drive. That is that's bad because he's going to be your starter. He's your starting cornerback. There were very few starters out there for the Texans in this one, but Aaron Colvin is a starter, and I was expecting a little bit more from him, and I'm anxious to see now that he's not got Jalen Ramsey or AJ Boye protecting him. I guess you would say maybe taking the best receivers on the opposing team. Can Aaron Colvin hang with some of the better receivers in the game? And I really want to see what Aaron Colvin can do, but I didn't like that.
Yeah. And it was an alarming situation. You know, the fact that he got beat so bad on that touchdown pass, but I'm going to give him a mulligan for this game because we really didn't get to see him all that much in the game against the Chiefs. He was there a little bit, but this was the most time he had gotten in quite some, you know, throughout the whole preseason, you know, since, you know, he's practicing, of course, but.
Yeah, they did the scrimmages this week, and he played in the scrimmages. So, you know, it wasn't like he wasn't familiar with the 49ers, but it didn't look good on that play. It was too easy. It was too easy.
And I imagine it's in his nightmares. He's been sleeping about this, about that whole play, about how it happened. You know, he's going to go into the film room, figure out what he did wrong, and he'll come back stronger than ever against the Rams next week. So I still have full faith in Aaron Colvin and what he can do. But if he continues this pattern, then we'll have to wonder, you know, about the money that we invested in him. Was it the right thing to do? And that's a good point. You know, you've got Jalen Ramsey, you've got AJ Bouye as your blanket. You know, you weren't the top cornerback. You know, you were brought in, you know, as a backup. Maybe there was a reason why he was a backup. He's got to show that now he's got this opportunity to be a leader in the secondary. That's one of the things that he's got to get down pat. Don't give up the touchdowns. I mean, sometimes it's okay to give up the passes. It's never okay, but you know, it's just not as punitive as giving up a touchdown, giving up a score.
Who do you got? Who do you have next on your list here?
I do like you know what, Vincent Smith. He had the game winning touchdown. I mean, that was a huge catch by him. I think it was over 40 yards, and a pass by Joe Webb. You know, I really don't know where we can put Vincent, but I think he's going to have a shot just with that play of latching on to another team. This kid's got something, and especially for him coming from a small school, you know, he's the type of guy that you can root for. Whenever he was, you know, he made the most of his moments whenever he was out there. I did like what I saw out of that, being able to come through in the clutch.
It's unfortunate that he's got Joe Webb throwing him the football for the most part, Joe Webb is not a good passer. We know that after watching him for a couple of games. That's why he's just a journeyman guy that's been able to hang on with his athleticism. But he got lucky a little bit on the touchdown. I mean, I thought it was very obvious that the 49er defender had clipped him with his leg. But hey, it helped the Texans win the game. So, you know, it's a play that we would have been in a major discussion afterwards if that was called what it was called. I mean, everybody would be talking about that for the NFL because that was the game-winning play, and it looked very obvious on the replay. But to me, I've seen this in all sports. We saw it recently with the Astros. What looks obvious on a replay isn't always what's called. It's amazing to a lot of us, I don't know. I think I'm going to have to stick with the cornerbacks for my next standout, and this was a mixed bag. Johnson Bottomosi, the second drive of the game, started off awful. He got beat twice for receptions, also missed a tackle after one of the catches. But then he made up for all that with a beautiful interception off a tip pass by the Niners receiver. But it's obvious that this is somebody that the Texans, if he's not doing it on special teams, he doesn't have a spot on this team because he's not a good cornerback. And again, I mean, I'm going to beat home this point. They've got to get some help at cornerback before the preseason ends. There's no doubt. Do you have anybody else on your list? Is there anybody else in your standouts?
As much as I hate to admit it, Ryan Griffin did have a pretty good game. Ryan Griffin was catching the balls, and he was catching for a lot of yards. You already know how I feel. I feel Jordan Akins should take the job, but he looked good. It was two catches for 29 yards. That was 14 and a half yards per catch, with his longest catch being 22 yards. But he was looking like his old self out there. But again, the issue with him is health. Is he going to be able to prevent himself and protect himself from getting a concussion? I just don't think that he has the strength, the body type like Jordan does to be able to do that. But I do have to give kudos when it's due. And Ryan Griffin looked good last night.
I don't know if it's a body type for concussions. I mean, we're talking about blows to the head. I don't know if I haven't heard any studies where if you're bigger, you're less likely to get concussions. So that's a question mark for me. And again, I talked to you about this a couple of weeks ago, or no, we talked about this week, and you had just penciled in that it was going to be one of the Jordans starting, most likely Jordan Akins at tight end. And I said, hey, Ryan Griffin, he's got the job until otherwise notified. Jordan Akins, to me, is the future, but Jordan Akins is going to have to earn it. And after having a really good first week, we didn't call his name much the second week. We did call his name at one point, and I'm going to get to that a little bit later. But before I get there, let me go with my next standout, and it's Troymaine Pope. With a big kickoff return, it was called back because of offsetting penalties, but considering he's fighting Tyler Irvin for a spot, to me, Brian, the kickoff return was a big deal because we don't see Tyler Irvin coming up with big kickoff returns.
You know, and they used Tyler Irvin a lot. They really did. And, you know, he just hasn't been as effective. I really just don't know what Tyler Irvin's future is with the Texans. Probably going to get cut. But again, unless somebody gets hurt, it's just a future that I'm not seeing that's pretty bright for him with the Houston Texans.
Yeah, I just have one other guy. Do you have anybody else? I've got one other minor standout in a bad way, actually.
Yeah, I do want to talk about Nick Rose, the kicker that they signed just this past week. I don't know what's going on with Fairbairn. Maybe they're just giving him a rest. I don't know if he's injured.
Yeah, no, he's injured. He's injured.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, but he had a 32-yarder. He did miss an extra point, but, you know, definitely a guy that you would want to kind of keep in your contacts just in case, you know, Fairbairn goes down. He was an undrafted free agent and he was with the Jets last season. So I kind of liked what I saw out of Nick Rose, but you got to make your extra points, man. That's just unacceptable.
Yeah, I didn't like what I see because missing an extra point gets on my bad side really quickly.
That's a gimme.
go ahead. Last guy I've got is running back LaVon Coleman. Not a good impression because he fumbles on his second carry, and as fumbles go, it wasn't a pretty one. Ran into a Texans O lineman, and then defensive lineman just reached in and knocked it out. And boy, the turnovers for the Texans weren't good. Alfred Blue had a bad turnover. Joe Webb was not looking good. He looked like he was going to turn it over with some of those throws that he made. I think he had, did he have one interception, Brian? Is that right?
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Webb had one pick, but the turnovers were not good in this game. Let me go back to, you talked about the Jordans, and I want to bring this up because let's just go over the drafted rookies for a second. This is frustrating because Ejiofor was great. Justin Reed, we're still waiting to see what we think he can do, but we still haven't seen Martinez Rankin. We still haven't seen Jermaine Kelly. We still haven't seen Kiki Cutie in the preseason at all. None of those three guys, which is a shame because the Texans need help badly in all of those positions. But you talked about Griffin and you look at the two Jordans, each of them had a penalty. Now, even though they didn't have any catches, they each had a penalty. I thought, when they showed the replay, that Jordan Thomas's holding penalty was bogus. I mean, I didn't see where there was a holding penalty in that at all. I didn't see the hold. I don't know what they saw. But another guy that we just haven't mentioned in the preseason and I thought was going to have to make his name in special teams, now I'm wondering if he's even going to make the team, is Peter Kalambayi, Brian. Have you even noticed him out there?
No, I have not. He flashed a little bit, against the Chiefs, but he just didn't, he put out much in the terms of production. I believe he had a tackle, if I'm not mistaken. That's probably all that he recorded as far as on the stat sheet. But I barely noticed him out there because, it's disappointing, too, because I had high hopes for him as well. But what do you expect out of another sixth-round pick that we have? But, there's two more games. He's still going to have an opportunity. But, whenever he had the opportunity to, go out there with the playing time he had and not make the most of it, it is kind of concerning.
I guess let me just say big picture for this game, Brian. I keep harping on this because I think it matters. I think it's important. The cornerback situation has really got me concerned. That's what I came out of this with. Ejiofor continues to impress. Deshaun Watson is Deshaun Watson. And boy, am I happy that he's on this team, and I'm happy that the Texans got him. But when I look at this game big picture, that's the thing that sticks out is the cornerback situation. I'm raising up a red flag here, as in, let's go out and find somebody. Let's go out and get some help. They're not going to sign Clowney to an extension, so they have money. If there's a team that just wants to maybe dump some money or dump a guy, and you can trade a middle round pick or something like that for a cornerback that could give you some help on as far as depth is concerned, I think the Texans seriously have to consider it. And, the one thing that I will miss about Rick Smith is he was always able to find those little cut cornerbacks late in the preseason that helped you out. If it wasn't for a couple of those guys, Rick Smith, his job might have been in jeopardy a little bit earlier than it was. But yeah, that was one of his saving graces. So that to me is my biggest sort of red flag moment from this game.
I didn't want the season to rest on Deshaun Watson's shoulders. I mean, that is too much pressure for a man that's going into his second year of playing professionally in the NFL and coming off his second ACL injury in his career. I didn't want that to be the situation, but it frankly, it is. The best moments of the game were that touchdown drive that he led. And, after that, just things just started to precipitate, especially offensively.
Yeah, and we got to remember that Jimmy Garoppolo continues to look like a damn good quarterback. I mean,
oh, yeah, there's no doubt Jimmy looks good. Jimmy G is going to be, for a long time, he is going to be, right in the neck and neck with Deshaun Watson, Carson Wentz. He's going to be in that same conversation.
And I just feel like, the Patriots are going to have to live with that decision for probably the next 15 to 20 years if this guy continues to do what he's doing. Yeah. Because, Tom Brady, there's got to be an end in sight. I mean, he just can't keep doing this forever. He's 41 years old. It can't continue to go on and on. And the defense, it's not going to just rest on Deshaun's shoulder. I mean, let's remind everybody, like we said at the beginning, I mean, I threw out all those names out there that didn't play. I mean, we got to get those guys on the field before you can really have any gauge as to where this defense is. It's not even fair. I'm just looking, you're just kind of evaluating for depth. And that's where my concern is cornerback depth doesn't look so hot right now. Even with Romeo back in the fold, even he can't get these guys to cover better than they're capable of. And that's going to be an issue moving forward. There was a really a good moment. A great moment before the game. Andre Howe was out working with his teammates before the game started. That was cool. I saw him out at Texans camp this past week. So he's been involved, and that's good to see. But, I think we need to get into the offensive line a little bit. That's where these Pro Football Focus grades in our next show are going to play a big factor. We're going to have to look at these Pro Football Focus grades and see how the O-linemen graded out, because I didn't see anything exceptional. I didn't see anything awful as far as the offensive line was concerned, but maybe the grades will tell us a little bit more than what I saw. And, the first teamers did not stay out there for that long. So that's another thing that we got to factor in, but let's wrap it up. Don't forget that Brian's got it covered on houseofhouston.com. And when I say everything, I mean Rockets, Astros, Texans. It's a fan side affiliate, so he brings a little bit of real gravitas with what's happening in Houston sports. And my Houston Sports Talk podcast, You guys know where to find it. It's on iTunes and the Google Podcast app, and you can find it pretty much anywhere you're going to find your favorite podcast. That's all we got for this one. Tomorrow, it's Texans Grades. So stay tuned for that one. Pro Football Focus will take care of us with that. As always, thanks for making us a part of your week.
You are Locked On Texans, your daily Houston Texans podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.